Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help on your quest to a satisfied mind. And today, Dave and I are talking about the things that strengthen the series of partnerships that are found in a family. This is all from a workshop that you can find at mystronghome.com. It's a series of worksheets and information. So go to mystronghome.com. It's all free.
Well, we need to be careful to live out our values as we attempt to teach those same values to our children. And there are several parenting qualities that are helpful in giving us a framework for living out our beliefs in front of our children. For each positive value, there is a negative counter value. One will bring them up, and one will bring up, and one will shake them up and tear them down. So we're going to try to do a little contrasting here as we talk about how to keep the family home fires burning.
So one of the first ones, there are five of them, six of them, it's acceptance, honesty, intimacy, accomplishment, the freedom to failure rather than to perform, and self-discipline, learning how to control yourselves. And so the first one that we want to talk about is acceptance.
Well, I think with acceptance, the opposite of that is ridicule. And I don't know how you grew up, but I had quite a bit of ridicule that went on in my family system. And the idea of being accepted for who you are, and even though you might not be the same as all of your siblings, a lot of conversation sometimes relates on conformity. It relates to conformity and acceptance, you know, because of other people's standards, rather than how you're made in the image of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ridicule is really mocking or scorning and scoffing, and I think we can add shaming to that. Sometimes this attitude of ridicule permeates your whole family culture. And sometimes I have found that it's directed at the kid who you don't understand, or the one, maybe the one who's most like you. And when that happens, you may even allow the siblings to pile on. You know, sometimes that can happen. So it can come out in direct comments or in passive ones like, I thought you'd at least swing at the ball, or didn't you study? And it comes out when you're frustrated underneath toward them, or sometimes it comes out because you're frustrated about things in your own lives. But and then shaming goes a little bit different direction, I think. Like, don't you know any better than that? Or why would you do that? You know, you're acting like a baby. So you don't want to instill the belief in your child that they're not good enough or don't have what it takes. So, for example, instead of saying, didn't you study, or why didn't you study? A better way might be to ask questions like, do you feel like you studied the wrong things? Or did you have trouble with how the questions were asked? Or would it be worth it to you if I tried to help? You know, find out what happened first instead of attacking. And then instead of shaming your kids by saying things like, don't you know any better than that? Or why would you do that? You know, sometimes that just bursts out of you. You know the tone I'm talking about. You know, really check your own heart and change your tone to something more positive, because belittling never works toward growth in their life.
So let's talk a little bit about the accepting part of it, because you've drawn some contrast there. And here are some of the messages of acceptance that we've observed. You're special to me.
Yeah.
You know, no matter how you perform, you're special to me. We're in this for the long haul. This isn't just about today. It's not just about this situation. We're in it for the long haul. Also, you're going to succeed, and I'm going to be there to correct you when you're wrong, comfort you when things are not well, and to applaud you when you overcome. And I will always take you seriously. That's an atmosphere of acceptance, and it takes a real, I don't know, a real mature view of parenting in order to provide an accepting environment. And it's something that a couple really needs to work on together in order to pull it off.
Yeah, we found that we had to set our own insecurities aside. Again, we were learning this right along with our kids, but you have to set your own, your own insecurities, the things that you're pretty sure you're not good at. Set those aside and start training your kid with the things that you probably needed yourself.
Acceptance. Second of all, honesty. And this is interesting, because whenever I think about this, I remember when I was studying the book of Judges once, and I thought, oh, they apply situation ethics to everything. They just kind of they move it. They move it the standard down the road. And that was the story of the Judges. Well, honesty is the opposite of situation ethics. It's of utmost importance in our family that we be truthful with one another. If the truth can't be told within our family, it probably won't be communicated outside of our family. And we must all admit when we are wrong and attempt never to lie to one another. We must learn that the truth cannot be bent for our own purposes. And we can all try to do this, but we're surely going to fail. But we have to hold that standard in a family to keep the home fires burning.
Yeah, this seems like an obvious one, but I'm going to give a couple of simple examples. When I was a young mom, an older friend taught me these things. Never, ever lie to your kids. Even when your child asks for a cookie and you don't want them to have one, you never lie and say you don't have them. You just tell them the truth, and you, obviously you're going to have to deal with the fallout. They might not like the answer to that, but you always tell the truth because at a very young age, they will begin to realize, oh, there were cookies. And so they will be, that will begin the seeds of mistrust. Second, at the time, we didn't have cell phones, but really, your kids are listening when you're on the phone. They know when you're lying or embellishing about something that happened. They know when you're giving a false excuse for why you weren't somewhere on time or whatever it is, and they know when you're lying to their dad about something even little. If they were with you when something happened or where you were and why you weren't on time or whatever, they know when you're not completely telling the truth, and they're learning from you how to be honest and straightforward or not.
So honesty and acceptance are huge in keeping the home fire burning. There's also the issue of intimacy, and closeness is probably a good word, because the opposite of it is distance. And it's important that a family be close. We can all have our own style and our own family character, and closeness can look a lot of different ways, but it's just that whole idea of approachability. We can't afford to be isolated from each other. So we've got to have the freedom and the listening ear to share our deepest thoughts and have them be respected and honored. And we can do this without smothering each other or meddling each other's lives. We can just be aware and and comfortable in that awareness.
This wasn't the only thing that worked for us, but one of the things that worked for us was a mealtime pretty much every day, even when we had to work around in weird times, you know, around sports and music. But it was good for us to sit eye to eye every day and laugh and talk and connect over fun and difficult times. Now, with all the screens we have around us, for that time, I would say they should all be turned off. For, you know, 45 to 60 minutes, including you as parents. I mean, they really just not turned over. They need to be not in the room. You know, your friends will learn soon enough that, you know, if you don't answer the phone for 45 minutes, that you're with your family. And your family needs to know they're more important than anyone else in the world. I mean, your family needs it and they deserve it.
We were with a family the other night and had four boys, and the dad noticed that one of the kids was plugged in, and he gently just said, "Hey, come on, engage the conversation, because the other boys,
come and join us, we're talking."
And I just thought that was really cool, because he was aware and he was watching him like a hawk and not just letting things unfold and happen.
Without. Yeah, and he was quiet; he wasn't bothering anyone, but he wasn't joining in.
Acceptance, honesty, intimacy rather than distance. Also, there's a quality that helps keep the home fires burning for your family called accomplishment. And I need to allow my children to learn with guidance. Even at an early age, they've got to learn to successfully complete and accomplish. We've touched on this before, but it's got to be my high priority to see them succeed level by level.
And incremental. This is
yes, it's incredibly important. And they just don't have insight into that. We struggle enough as adults to have insight into it in all areas of our lives. So to help our children learn that, that's a big challenge.
Yeah, accomplishment is really, we don't want our kids to become gloaters or braggarts, but we do want them to know that their hard work paid off. And we want them to enjoy the success of it. It's a part of seeing that diligence really does have a reward.
Well, and I think the whole attitude, too, about I rejoice in my kids' success, even if their success ends up eclipsing my own. Uh-huh. And this was something that I wrestled with when the kids were young. And I thought, okay, do I want them to just come up to where I am in life? Or do I want them to exceed wildly beyond my imaginations because they are different than me and they're different people? And so that's been helpful, because that's one of the goals of good parenting. I need to avoid holding them to standards that I know deep within my heart I don't even keep myself. And that's where honesty comes in, because even though they may fall short on particulars, I need to be confident and express that confidence in their ultimate success.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the whole idea of being free to fail rather than always being based upon performance. This is a tough one, because you want your kids to perform, because X equals Y equals Z. It's just the nature of life. I mean, if you put this in, this is going to come out. Mm-hmm. So having the freedom to fail rather than always be judged off from perfect performance is incredibly important. So just as I've never done anything perfectly the first time, so my children have many years to perfect their skills. And that was something that all of a sudden we realized, that in the early teenage years, we were expecting things out of our kids that we were just mastering. In our 30s, in our early 40s. And it's like, really? I'm expecting this? Well, it becomes a family standard. And then all of a sudden you lose sight of the fact that it takes time to learn this kind of stuff and perfect it.
Boy, I think it's really easy to lose sight of the word incremental, that it's little by little. We don't need to make outside excuses for them, that they were tired or whatever it is. But it's really just okay to be learning and making small steps towards success.
And even though they may fail, they're not failures.
Right.
And this is important for them to distinguish between the two. And they can disappoint me without being a disappointment. And there are so many nuances to effective parenting that go beyond the words, and they go right to the heart of what it means to keep that heart fire burning. Mm-hmm. Finish us off today. We've talked a little bit about acceptance, honesty, intimacy, accomplishment, the freedom to fail. This is on page 43 at mystronghome.com in the family workshop. The final one is self-discipline. And I put in parentheses rather than control by guilt, because there's a whole lot of that going on in the world. And instead of learning self-discipline and embracing it, we use guilt to get what we want out of people. And it's not a very good motivator at all.
Yes, and sniping comments, which just ultimately are not successful. They cause deep frustration.
Well, it's my job to help my children to the place where they can rule themselves. In fact, there's a proverb that talks about ruling your own spirit. And we've taken that really seriously in our parenting, because we want our kids to experience internal self-control, not mm-hmm. just external self-control, although the two are related. All discipline moves toward this goal of independent responsibility. I'm not my children's or my spouse's conscience. They have their
I call
own
it Junior Holy Spirit.
Right, yeah. They've got their own conscience mm-hmm. that is open to God, that God can speak to, which also relates to the whole idea about us praying for our children in all of these areas,
right,
that it becomes a heart issue. So it's my job to help them accept responsibility for their own beliefs and their actions, and to press forward as they get to know who God is and how God is at work in and around them. And this is one of the biggest challenges, I think, of a parenting life, is to fan those heart mm-hmm. flames, and make them bigger so that the heart is burning strong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we do that by giving the right kind of input. The wrong kind, like you were talking about, is controlling by guilt. It just doesn't have a good ending, because it causes exactly the opposite on the inside of what we're trying to get for someone's heart.
So you're listening today, you're going, who are these guys anyway? Well, we've raised three kids. They're into adulthood. They have children of their own, and now they are going through and, in the middle of the teenage years with their kids. So we've got some experience here. So we're passing on everything we know. Forestream.com is a collection of resources to help you and those you know experience the freedom of a kingdom life. If you'd like to listen to today's program in its entirety, go to Forestream.com and click on the radio button.